I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
Oh, God, wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me 19, Peter.
Yes, we're back with WrestleMania 19.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Sorry.
At the end of the last episode, you made it very clear that you had managed to, through Craig, a friend of yours, a friend of mine, nice chap, you managed to get the great Carl Lee to provide a Cameo recording. Cameo, of course, you cannot have product advertised.
Yes.
But you know, managed to sort of sneak in.
What the hell?
Ronnie Corbett voice. Ronnie Corbett known for continually sailing very close to the wind, illegally.
So what we've got here is the great Carl Lee in what looks like a hairdresser. I think he's got his own memorabilia on the back, so maybe it's a business owned by him.
I think he's waiting for someone in an office.
Or wherever he lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does have a wrestling school, which is absolutely fucking insane.
I mean, didn't he kill a man? Killed a policeman. Oh, no, he was a policeman and he killed a man in the ring.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that's right. But also, I mean, you know, what's he going to teach you? He can't do a chop on people's heads correctly.
So this is what we got from Craig. I'll skip forward if I can find where we are.
What's up? This is the great Carl Lee. What's up, Pete? What's up? This is the great Carl Lee. I want to say Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
It was Christmas.
Enjoy, brothers. All the big family, all the Christmas, happy holiday. That's my daughter. She won't do that.
He can't even do this right. He can't even cut a promo right. Let his daughter climbing over.
At what point is he going to start over?
My favorite wrestler in the Japan, Chono Saito. Because at that time, Chono Saito looked like a WWE, Roman Reigns, Undertaker, that great Carl Lee. That time I worked there, so Chono Saito really, really famous. Then Jai and other LARP wrestlers, really good. So I want to say, brother, keep it up. Just working hard. Never quit. I want to say congratulations. You have podcast Wrestle Me with his friend, Mark. All right, brother. Thank you so much for supporting the me. God bless you. Keep it up.
So how much did Carl Lee pay to send you this?
he's done two cuts in that.
That's great.
He's restarted. Like, he's done that. His daughter's climbed over him and then he went, this wrestle me, Mark. Your friend, Mark.
Oh, that's
magical.
That's a brilliant present. Thank you, Craig. Thank you for Pete's Christmas present last year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. It is funny, he's actually talking about, you know, talking about their two Japanese wrestlers, Saito and Masa Chono.
Yeah.
I didn't know he'd know who they were. He does. Well done.
Yeah.
But then he's sort of thinking they're like Roman Reigns and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
I didn't know where that was going.
time. I mean, I assumed you knew most of the words what he was saying, so I was like, oh,
no, I mean, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm not great at deciphering what Carly says. Don't work for the FBI.
Well, again, he's one of the few wrestlers I've actually seen in WWE doing his thing. And he is
remarkable to see. I mean, he's
a giant, a literal giant.
The spectacle, and, yeah. I love that. But, you don't want to see him in the ring.
Stiff.
It's not a part of a WrestleMe, but he had a match called the Punjabi Prison Match.
Right.
I can't remember if he actually got injured and then couldn't do it, and then it became Batista and the Big Show. But the actual Punjabi Prison itself is the worst match you could ever imagine.
Right,
it was basically a steel cage, but with different layers made out of bamboo because he's from India.
They have a lot of bamboo in India. Is that their thing?
Well, probably not now because that thing took some building, I'll tell you. This WrestleMania, it doesn't have Carly in, but because he's still to come. Something to look forward to.
Is there WrestleManias with Carly in it? Lovely.
I think there are, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm looking forward to hearing
Mundi at the Butcher game. Fucking dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. Oh, did you ever see the bits where he became a... They sometimes do this with wrestling. When they go, we've run out of ideas for this guy, but he's on contract, where they just immediately go, why don't we give him a gimmick where he's the world's greatest lover? Have you seen the Carly bits where he's...
So he's like a kind of like a guru-y, Lothario. Kind of like sexy lover. Right.
No, a guru is better booking. You are good at this.
No, but like if you're like, so he, I guess, you know, the, I don't know.
They just gave him a camera and he'd sort of like kiss Karma women, Sutra, I think. It was a bit weird. It was like, you know, because he's a bit farm animal-y, like, you know, because he's got this big long head and it's a bit like... A cow's gone wrong and they're making it kiss women.
There are fully grown 30-year-old women he could put their head in his mouth, I reckon. Like a lion.
Like a cameo. Hi, Carly. Don't want you to say anything.
Put your daughter's head in your mouth.
Oh dear.
He's gigantic.
Oh, he really is.
Yeah.
This is such a weird opening to this. I'm really thrown.
I was going to do it at the end. You wanted to bring it in. You wanted a bit of the Greg Carly at the start of the podcast.
I did. I just think it's important.
It's your own fault.
The last thing I want is us in court with the people who are from Cameo saying we've misused it and having to listen to the whole of this episode before we get to the important bit. Let's get it done. Especially because the bit I'm about to do now is as contentious as anything we've ever talked about. We've got up to the point in WrestleMania where we see the referee Sylvain Grenier,
right,
come into I think he goes into Vince McMahon's locker room.
He's the French.
He is French Canadian. And he was used in some, I think, other sort of bits as a corrupt, crooked referee.
Yeah.
Now, he later becomes a member of the tag team called La Résistance, who are when the war is going on and the French have refused to take part in it, they become the cowards. And so they have these two French guys who everyone's supposed to hate because the French didn't think that the war in Iraq was justified.
The illegal war in Iraq was justified, yeah.
Yes, dear Freedom Fries,
Freedom
man.
Fries.
We still call them that. Still call them that. So one of the things about Sylvain Grenier is there was always a rumour going around that he had been given his position due to his close relationship with Pat Patterson.
Right.
Pat Patterson, a long-term WWE employee, a brilliant guy, came up with the concept of the Royal Rumble, and he's also openly gay. So people who know Pat Patterson or have been trained by him or have been mentored by him, they often come in for this slight flack of people going, were they in a relationship with Pat Patterson?
Mm. And Pat Patterson's had been accused of certain things as well himself, hasn't he? Wasn't it kind of like ring boy stuff?
Pat Patterson seemed to be dragged into what was a legitimate scandal that had gone on solely because of his sexuality.
Right, okay, yeah.
Accusations were made against him, but these accusations, by and large, people have said they did not apply to Pat Patterson.
Right.
They did apply to a number of other people who were working at WWE at that time. Pat Patterson... His sexuality has left him open to anyone who sort of has a connection with him and isn't that good.
Yeah.
Always gets accused of, oh, well, maybe there's something more to it.
Right, yeah.
Sylvain Grenier was, he said that Pat Patterson was his mentor. He has always denied being gay, and there's absolutely no reason to you know, not believe that. But what that got me onto a section that I looked of the internet, which was... I was like, which wrestlers are like rumoured to be gay?
Mm.
And I found a couple of things that I loved, absolutely loved. And a couple of... I mean, the internet's just a stupid place. This is an article by The Sportster. And they say, we'd like to give shout-outs to the late Ernie Roth. He was a WWF manager called the Grand Wizard back in the 70s, and he was gay. It said Jim Barnett, who was a big promoter, who was also known to be openly gay. Tom Zenk, who was a 90s wrestler in WCW. I didn't know he was gay. Not that it matters, but they mention Living Legends Cassandro, who is an exotico from Mexico, and a number of younger wrestlers who are all openly gay and working in the independents.
Yeah.
One of the things they mentioned in there was they had a list of people who may or may not be gay.
Right.
And they range from being ones that are entirely believable to just bizarre. So Mae Young, they mention, they say, you know, she was known to, you know, be a tough, you know, woman who would get into fights with men all around bars. As far as they can tell, she never had a partner.
Yeah.
And she died at the age of 90. She'd never married or had kids. And there is a rumour that says she had an on and off again relationship with the Fabulous Moolah.
Yes.
Yeah. They all did live together with the midget wrestler Diamond Lil. I say midget wrestler in the way that people would have used it in the 70s. It's not really a word we use today.
No.
But they all lived together as a big family. And, you know, it doesn't matter what they got up to.
They were buried. They were buried together.
They're all buried on the same plots in Moolah's hometown. So there are these sort of things. Now, I'm not here going, this is who's gay, this who isn't, you know. What I'm here to do is the accusations that are just bizarre. One of them is that Andre was bisexual, Andre the Giant.
Right, okay.
Now, I would say...
His two types were women and booze.
I would say, right... I mean, it's that sort of thing of if you didn't know it was happening, it's not like he could really hide stuff.
No, right? He can't even take a shit on a plane without people seeing things.
I just don't understand. unless he's just like, you say, we're going to go back to my hotel room. What I need you to do is just stand behind me and I'll crawl along and move along the wall. They won't see you. But I don't know. It just seemed... the other thing it gave in that was it was talking to some people who had... claimed to have slept with Andre over the years. And they're all saying, oh yeah, actually his penis was just normal man-sized. Which is, I mean, I get it chromically, got these huge hands, I can't sit or use a toilet.
Yeah.
But thank God it didn't affect my dick. that is just inches of flaccid fucking...
I could be the power top that I wanted to be. And when I say power top, I'm a power top.
My favourite one is in the memoir Wrestling the Hulk, My Life Against the Ropes.
Right.
Hulk Hogan's ex-wife, Linda Claridge, I think they were going through a very bad divorce at the time. She said in her book that Hulk had had relations with Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He actually had to then Hogan address the media and say, despite these allegations, I wasn't actually attracted to men. So there's a... I'm not mentioning the Barber's Hall of Fame. He's been cutting, he's been strutting. Please welcome him. I was once accused of having a homosexual affair with him. Please welcome my good friend and non-lover, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Isn't that weird? I mean, whenever you're going to have such a... You know, it's like a gigantic, beautiful men around. Like, there's going to be some accusations. And I'm surprised there's not more, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I mean, it is a different time. One of the things that came up in this list of wrestlers, it's absolutely brilliant. I've been watching Dark Side of the Ring, which is a Vice documentary. And it's brilliant and really worth seeing. Even if you don't like wrestling, it's just great stories. They're just brill. One of the Von Erichs, the murder of Bruiser Brody, the life of Gino Hernandez and his strange death. I mean, he's not a well-known wrestler now. At the time, he was huge. Really good stuff. But one of the things I found in this list of wrestlers who are gay and bisexual, in the 60s, there was a Hell's Angel tag team called the Dupree Brothers.
Right.
And the Dupree Brothers were not brothers. They were actually a couple. And they had this really frightening gimmick of being these nasty Hell's Angels. But actually, they were in love.
Yeah.
And it's such a sort of lovely story. this later gave rise to the fact that the wrestler called René Dupree, who was the tag team partner of Sylvain Grenier, had taken his ring name from the Dupree Brothers in the 60s solely because he wished to say, I too myself am gay. He was not gay. It was simply his stepfather's name. But these sorts of rumours swim around and they're fascinating. It's not because you're interested in people's sexuality. It's that exciting world of wrestling where things are not necessarily always as they seem.
Well, we spoke last week, or you know, in the last round of WrestleMania 18 about the gimmick, the wrestling gig, and that was supported by a gay charity, sort of, you know, supported by them.
The anti-... I forget forget what they're called now. The
didn't have the word
is it GLAAD?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was about the storyline of Billy and Chuck.
Yeah,
but it's, yeah, I mean there are indeed, you know, the WWE has Sonya Deville, who's a female wrestler who is openly gay. Mm. Until recently, Darren Young, he was an openly gay wrestler, and neither of those have had to do silly things about their sexuality because it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, of course it goes up saying, but the thing is, where you look at stuff, you sort of go, God, that's more progressive than football.
Yeah, massively.
Global game played by millions.
Yep.
And yet, you can probably point at like three openly gay footballers,
yeah,
and none of them are playing fucking the big five leagues.
You could honestly, just on the independents alone, the people who are probably, there are probably 10 wrestlers under 30 who are open about their sexuality, and so they should be. Not
division,
just open about
make
it.
A division.
I think actually there was at WrestleMania weekend, there was a show that was entirely LGBT.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, interesting, huh? Interesting.
Yeah.
The only edit we've ever had to make in a WrestleMania that once went out was one of the rumours of someone's sexuality.
Right.
And I mentioned it in passing because it's such a thing that's well accepted in WWF of the 80s wrestling. And I mentioned it. And it was only afterwards, after I'd listened to it, having it went out, that I listened to it and I thought, hang on, I'm going to check
have
this.
I outed someone?
That's there. And I typed it on the internet. And if you type in the rumour, there was nothing. But if you type in the rumour, and the words the rumour and then the rumour, it was just people saying it's rumoured that, and I
that's
thought
the but that
not
thing
worth
is
getting
though,
sued.
That is the problem though, with a lot of obviously wrestling shows and podcasts, and also the fact that a lot of this media isn't in America, and it's a lot harder to sue people for that sort of thing, especially if they're deceased as well. But like, it's all about what happened backstage and rumours and shoot interviews and stuff like that. And like, wrestlers seem to just fire their mouth off all the time about all kinds of crap, accusing people of all sorts. And they never seem to get sued. But like, that's everyone's building a picture of what happens backstage and in hotel rooms and in hotels and in bars and on the road. Life on the road. It will be like 10% not as shocking as any rock and roll band on the road or whatever. But you sort of go, everyone's building a picture from like fragments of rumour and conjecture and stuff, and it usually doesn't matter, and it's usually not actionable until you get to points like that where you can't go around just outing.
There's exactly what you said here is a line that I took from one of the articles that I was reading, and it said they were talking about this the wrestler that we'd mentioned, and I thought, oh, I'm just not going to put this in. And the line that follows that is, it says, reliable personalities such as Bret Hart and Jake Roberts have in shoot interviews left breadcrumbs of the true story.
Ooh.
So, you know, but then again, also Bret Hart in his autobiography, he suggests that Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels had an affair, and that was why Shawn Michaels was pushed. Not that he was probably, you know, one of the five greatest wrestlers of his generation. It was that they done some kissing.
Oh, well.
Kissing. It'd be lovely if people could see us sitting here in this hot tub in the house where we live together and pool all of our worldly goods. This is the type of sick... The sick propaganda that we want to put out there. It's good news.
Love is love.
Yeah. And here's the WrestleMania theme. This is Limp Bizkit come out to play. Crack Addict, it's called.
Yes.
again, we're talking about rumours. Lot of rumours of wrestlers on crack. You can see Jake the Snake Roberts taking some crack in Beyond the Mat, the documentary. Bret Hart's autobiography, once again, mentions that the British Bulldog spent the run-up to SummerSlam 1992 smoking crack with Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
He had a really good match.
He did, yeah.
That was really good.
Bret Hart takes all the credit for that.
Right, okay.
I think we've actually, this is something oddly we've talked about on stage, but we've never done as the podcast. But we did a whole show on SummerSlam 92, and those stories came up, and Bret Hart is very much, you know, I held everything together, and he really didn't know what was going on. And you watch that match, and it's not true. The Bulldog is fantastic in that match.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Miller Lite, Cat
Miller
Fight
Light,
Girls.
Cat Fight.
Holy shit. I mean, this is so fucking crap. The Miller Lite Cat Fight Girls, we talked about them in last episode, maybe the episode before, but out they come. Jonathan Coachman, the play-by-play announcer, begins talking with a microphone, explaining what is happening as Tori Wilson and Stacey Keibler roll around with these Playboy models. My favourite thing about this is when they come out, it's all the birds. Oh, birds! And the crowd go, yeah! And I don't know what they want, the crowd. Start doing porn, and then we'll all stand here and just go, oh. But when it starts and they're all just rolling around in this bed, the crowd suddenly just go, I'm really embarrassed.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a bed, that's why. It's way too big. It's like, it just looks like something a bit like industrial. It looks like a big pallet that's been covered in like an eiderdown.
Are you worried that it's going to turn into one of those things that women have been tricked and then suddenly they'll pull a lever and it'll be like a cage, like the child catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
It's so bizarre. And it's just, and you know, the people, two of the people are actually restless. And that's the and they've been pulled into this bullshit.
Imagine having worked there for probably a year and a half.
Yeah. Going through what they must have gone through. In a roster full of roided up maniacs.
You're doing this, and these girls are really big. It's going to be a big news thing, and you're going to wear these little things. You roll around on the floor, and you just... What is this?
So they get into it, they have a little wrestle and A bit of spanking. Coach's trousers fall down for some reason, I can't forget why.
Yep.
And he's wearing pants.
And the crowd are just... By the time it's underway, what it is, they're all just like, I wish I wasn't here. I just wish, this was supposed to be sexy.
I couldn't figure out, and it's no longer sexy. I couldn't figure out where the bed was put up, though. It was on a raised platform.
Yeah,
it wasn't
it's
the
not
ring,
in
was
the
it?
Ring.
Yeah.
I think there is a funny thing where, I think there is a little bit where the WWE say, this isn't actually a match. This is just a bit of fun.
This isn't in the ring.
As far as I'm concerned, a WrestleMania match. Apart from anything else, they bumped the match RVD and Kane versus Chief Morley and Lance Storm
for this. Yeah.
So it's a fucking match, guys. It's a fucking match. It is, routinely, people say it's the worst thing that's ever been on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It is. It's one of those things that...
We've sat through a few and I would disagree with that.
This is short, but it's so tawdry and it's so misguided. And it's also crap. It's execution. When they just begin starting it, they're just rolling around and it's so like, oh my God, this is like what people think wrestling is.
Yeah. I certainly this time, it certainly remembers that frequently though. The Rock at the start in the montage of the whole show. WrestleMania is the culmination of all my hard work, all my sacrifice, and I felt every inch of that on this big bed.
The only good thing about this is there's a sign behind them that said Pound Saddam, which made it, if anything, slightly less erotic than it already was.
Another
tremendously disappointing match coming up. Triple H, the world champion, versus Booker T. This has a great intro video where they are painting Booker T as going, this is the guy who has overcome so much adversity to get here. They don't mention on this Booker T. Booker's real name is Booker Huffman.
Right.
His real name is Booker. What does the T stand for? It's his middle name, T.O. Right? Right. T.I.O. Booker T.O. Huffman. Fucking thrilling. His brother is, he's called, I think, Lash Huffman. Another great wrestling name. But when he becomes a wrestler, even though throughout their careers they're acknowledged as brothers,
right.
He calls himself Stevie Ray. Right? your name is Lash Huffman. You've been given a wrestling name and you go, what are you going to be called? I'm going to be called Stephen Reynolds. What are you thinking of? The two of them worked together throughout their whole career. Mm. They were, I think, two of seven children. Right. And their mother had... there's a weird bit where Jerry Lawler just, as he's commentating, I think it was Booker's coming down, he just goes, his mother passed away when he was in elementary school! Which is bizarre.
Yeah, there's some... like, Booker T's not had a good life.
No, he hasn't. You know. And he, as a young man, he ended up going to... he was convicted of two aggravated robberies, which I believe are robberies involving either a firearm or the threat of a firearm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He pleaded guilty to those in 1987 to armed robberies of Wendy's restaurants in Houston, Texas, where he was from. He and his partners wore Wendy's uniforms during the crimes. And the reason they did that was because he had worked at the branches of Wendy's that he stuck up for 2 years.
Oh, well, that's...
So he was immediately recognised. His mugshot is him just with a big beaming smile, like, yeah!
He looks so young and thin.
He does. It's great. He's just like, this couldn't have gone any better. I did the robbery, I was instantly recognised, and now I'm in prison. he was sentenced to 5 years, but he served 19 months.
Right.
And his parole ended in 1992. He then got into wrestling. Mm. And he worked with his brother throughout. They were a tag teaming quite a lot. And I think he had a brief period as a character called G.I. Bro. Weirdly, there was I didn't write this down, but there was a recent court case regarding G.I. Bro in a computer game where it was the likeness, and Booker was like, that is me. That's my old gimmick from like 1990.
Yeah.
And I believe he won that case.
Oh, he's bound to win that case, surely. Yeah.
I'll have a look. But it's quite a big game. That was the thing. I'll have a look. Everyone will know. Everyone can just Google it now. But the two of them worked together as a tag team. They ended up going to WCW as a team called Harlem Heat. Mm. They were initially called Kane and Cole, with K's, K-A-N and K-O-L-E. So that means that, like, Booker, I think, was the original Kane. Strange sort of like little fact. They went to WCW, and originally, when they'd gone there, they asked eventually, can we be called Booker T and Stevie Ray? We don't want these fake names.
Yeah.
When they'd originally gone there, they were going to be managed by a guy called Colonel Robert Parker, who was a Southern gentleman. They were going to be called the Ghetto Blasters, and Colonel Robert Parker was going to lead the two of them to the ring in chains like slaves. This was, it says here, nixed due to racial sensitivity.
Wow. I didn't even think they had that file in their folder.
No, absolutely incredible. So that's the WCW. By the time WCW folds, Booker T is actually the most decorated star in WCW history. Yeah. He's held over the course
five
of his careers 21 titles, but yeah, five-time world champion. And although that happens later because I think he's two-time, I think he is.
Oh, right, okay.
And then in WWE, he will end up holding some world belts. What happens here, they tell that story, they go, this is a guy who has struggled all against everything. Nothing has been handed to him, he's fought for it all himself. They set it up in a way that in this match with Triple H, who is pictured essentially as this spoiled, rude, horrible man who everything has been given to, the only way that storyline can end is with Booker T winning the belt.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you've damaged him irreparably by going, yes, he is as bad as Triple H has said, you know. And that's exactly what they do.
Why do they? It's so odd, isn't it?
This is Triple H at his absolute worst. And
he looks like a fucking cooked chicken in this one.
He does. He looks like...
He's fallen asleep in the sun.
I'm trying to think of the sci-fis where they go... It's like you've got Fabio, and they go, and this one has been bred from the same genes as Fabio, but it's not quite worked. And that's what he looks like here. He's on a mad jag about how important he is. So in last year... They have united the WCW and the WWE titles into the Undisputed Championship. Mm. Chris Jericho has won that on one night, and he lost it to Triple H at WrestleMania 18. That belt has now moved on to Brock Lesnar. Well, Triple H can't get involved in that. So what they do is they bring back the WCW Championship, which they then just called the World Belt. And the belt he uses is Ric Flair's old one, an iconic belt.
Yeah.
So what you have is the Undisputed Belt, which is a new belt you've never seen before. And suddenly Triple H has been awarded this classic belt that we know as the World Championship.
Right.
He doesn't even win it in a tournament. Basic money sort of thing to do. He just gets given it on a Raw. And he defends this for the best part of the year. He loses it to Shawn Michaels, his best friend. Shawn Michaels loses it to Triple H rather than make a big new star. He just gets it back. And he then runs through people like RVD and Kane, who could have been made a superstar with this belt. Mm. And we get to this point, we've built up, you know, to WrestleMania. We have Booker T waiting there with this good story. And Booker T needs this to become a superstar. And Booker T does not get this. It's absolutely the... I think, again, we've gone from the Miller Catfight Girls.
Yeah.
And that is a terrible piece of work. This is the most willfully booked. People hate this match so much. They hate what happened. Mm. It makes people cross that this match happened the way it did. They build Booker T up. They say, you know, Triple H... They even bring a racial element in it where they have some stuff in the building up of the Raw where they talk about people like you will never be champion. Mm. Triple H refers to his nappy hair. Ric Flair at one point, I think, throws him a dollar and says, go get my bags. It's that, you know. And you do all this, and at the end of it, you just have Booker beaten in the ring, clean, by Triple H.
Yeah.
He does his pedigree and Booker has to lie there for 30 seconds and then Triple H crawls over, pins him. Everyone is expecting him to jump out. What's it called? Get out the pin.
Kick out, yeah.
Kick out. It's so horrible to watch this match that I actually found myself... Booker was doing really good work in this match. It's not a bad match. It's a bit slow.
Well, actually,
but there is some
way,
good stuff.
Well, the way you set the match sort of goes, it just looks like T's going to win all the time.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like... Really? Like, all that? Like, what? Where's the storyline gone? That just kills that storyline, surely. Like,
The storyline is the heroic black wrestler who has been oppressed is going to fight for the belt against this privileged,
against the man, against
white
the man,
wrestler,
against the system, against that. And it's just...
Yeah, and he loses. That it's so... Honestly, I could sit down with the world's stupidest people and you'd say, how should this end? And they would go, the Booker T man, him win. And you go, yes, of course he does. And in this, it can only have been done because Triple H would have said, I don't think that's... I think actually I should do this. And and instead, what this would have opened up for Booker T would have been, you know, loads of rematches against Triple H. He would have, you know, just become a bigger, bigger star. And it takes Booker years to get to a level where he's, you know, big.
Yeah.
The funny thing is now, with the Hall of Fame and things like that and Booker being on commentary, they treat it like Booker's always been a big star. And actually, for those 3 years of his career, when he was a huge star at WCW, they did everything they could to slightly just keep him in the mid-card.
Right.
It's heartbreaking.
Well, there's a moment where he does like a somersault sort of leg drop thing.
Yeah.
He does it right on Triple H's head. And he fucks... It looks like he's fucked it.
I don't know if he knew what he was doing when he did that. He's up there and he just comes off and it's just like, Jesus Christ, that's like he fell from a plane.
And I was like, oh, he's fucked that. But then when Triple H wins, I was like, I'm glad he crushed his head. Because he didn't do it like with the crook of his leg or the back of his knee. He does it with big chunky thigh.
The rumour is that until the day of the show, Booker T was going to win.
Right.
And that would explain slightly why the match was laid out. And it's not a bad match. It's a good Booker T match. Mm. As far as Triple H goes, again, like all of his matches, you could cut 10 minutes out of it and it would, you know, it wouldn't suffer. It would be, you know, totally beneficial.
Booker T's kind of scissory kicks he does, they're really cool.
He's good in this match. I've forgotten how good he is, actually. I talked before about him being a bit herky-jerky. and in this match, oddly, everything he does, I don't know whether he's just being a bit sloppy, but it looks really, really impactful. It's really good. What had basically happened was they had finally come to terms with Bill Goldberg, one of the biggest stars of WCW.
Yeah.
And Goldberg was going to be debuting the day after this WrestleMania. And they decided Triple H would be the man who needed to, you know, have a feud with Goldberg, and the money was in that, and not having Booker T as the champion. That's what happened. So Booker T, I think, was told on the day that he was not going to go over. And he's always been very nice about it, I think, because people tend to ask him about it. It's a really sort of key match where everyone's like, this is the worst excesses of Triple H pushing himself.
Yeah.
And so Booker's always been very nice about it. He has had a long career with the WWE, well-deserved.
Yeah.
But this is a shameful moment.
Well, nobody wants to be the victim, do they? Or nobody wants to be seen as the victim, so I guess you cut your cloth accordingly if you've been given a dog shit sandwich like that.
Yeah.
But it was a weird match. And they didn't even, to be honest, they barely used bloody... Nature boy, like,
I know.
That was a weird one as well.
The obvious thing as well would have been on this that you go, oh, well, you know, because Booker, we don't want to make him look weak. Mm. We have Ric Flair interfere right at the end and we cost him the match. Mm. And that's got some heat.
Yeah.
But instead, they just beat him. They make him look like a total cunt.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so depressing.
Rubbish. Well, we're probably going to wrap up now.
Yeah, let's end on a high, shall we? Man, that fucking...
Sorry, Mark.
Like, Triple H in his fluffy fucking... He looks like a thumb, the big prick. It is just
sleepy
so disappointing.
Nose. Big sleepy
nose. I really hope he's got this out of his system now.
Yeah.
I really do, because he comes back every now and then for a match, you know, like with Batista or Sting, that he still goes over on.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, but his stuff at NXT is great. And you just think he's going to be like fucking Vince. He's going to be 85. They're going to be wheeling him down and he's going to be... Oh, God.
Oh. Well, more on Mr. McMahon in the next episode of WrestleMe. If you want to get in touch with the show, show@wrestlemepod.com. We'll be back next week with more of this nonsense.
Was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.